Right there.
Did they come and do it? Or, yeah.
See how this does. Okay. Praise the Lord. If I walk by somebody I know well, don't be offended. My eyes are still good, but light affects me because I've been in 9 months in Russia in the past 3.5 years, and they have such bright, kind of like warehouse lights in a lot of places I minister. So sometime I'm here, but I see a little different. That's why I put on some glasses when I preach now. But how many are glad to be in a country that we have freedom?
Amen.
Amen. I want us to go to 1 Kings chapter 17 today. All right. Not to play calisthenics, but could we stand in the presence of God, please? You know, I think I have been coming here at least 10 or more years, but I don't know I've ever been here where you have sun like this. So I don't think there's anything spiritual about that, but I'm not wearing a scuba dive outfit, so I'm doing all right here. And I left all my long sleeves at home. I went to the East Coast. Can you imagine this? It was 40 degrees a few days there and in their 50s, and it was freak weather. And those people are out of their minds. They don't heat their home when it's like that. For me in California, I'd left 80-degree weather. So it was a shock. So we're about 100 the other day, and so it's still an adjustment here. But sun, how many glad for sun in Seattle area?
Hallelujah.
My goodness. I would give an impartation of weather, but you don't need any earthquakes up here. So let's agree today for the Word of God to bless you, to transform you, to do something in the spirit realm for this church. Father, we thank you for mercy that triumphs over judgment. We thank you, Lord, you have a plan before the foundation of the world, and we're caught by surprise, but you're never caught by surprise because you're the God of yesterday, today, and forever. So I take authority over religious spirits that hinder revival. I take authority over every strategy of the enemy to weaken God's people, to weaken God's church. And we ask you to open the heavens and come with abundance of grace here today. Lord, we do not have in ourselves anything to bless these people, but we call upon you who are the source of every good and perfect gift. We take dominion as the body of Christ, and we refuse to let the enemy have our inheritance or our children's inheritance. We pray open heaven over this nation. We pray you return America back to you. Bring revival in the land, Lord, and protect those in high places that they righteously serve your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody said.
Amen.
You may be seated. My wife brings you greetings. She's in the Los Angeles area taking care of her father for a few days. And he's 87 years old, and thank God that the cancer that's been trying to destroy him is being stopped. But his time on earth is definitely not too long. But I believe in honoring our parents. How many believe in honoring your parents? So it's been a bit of a sacrifice for the whole family, but we believe in honoring our parents. And so my wife is there. I appreciate your prayers. And then we get together for a couple weeks, and this is our lifestyle. She's going to Romania to visit my son, who's a missionary there and married to a Romanian prophetess. And I'm going to Russia. Hallelujah. So much prayer appreciated. The anti-religious laws that are passed there, we were arrested the last time, and God got us out of it. And it was God, because another gentleman who's the head of the Pentecostal Union in Germany, and he was raised in Russia, speaks fluent Russian, they just threw him out and banned him for 5 years for less than what I was doing. Can you believe they accused me of evangelizing? I had a great lawyer, but I had a real great lawyer. Out of prayer, hundreds of churches praying, the judge says, these charges are confusing, and threw it out of court. Unheard of. By the grace of God. So we go back, but the Russian believers are very strong, but it's definitely a strategic battle for that nation right now. And we have open doors all the way to Japan, all the way to the Baltic area. So it's the largest landmass in the world. And the Russian church is ordained to reach into China, and already are. And they're ordained, and they're helping us in the Middle East as well, because our focus has gone from Asia. We turned that over to my son, who's worked there since he's 15. He's 33 now. We've turned Asia over to my son for his leadership. And our focus is the Middle East and Central Asia. Hallelujah. And Russians are going to play a major role in that. And the greatest revival in Israel right now is with the Russian Jews. So God has a strategic plan. Are you glad for a strategic plan? And God has a strategic plan for you and this church. There's an older apostolic ministry I went to when I was a young pastor. I was young once. But I went to this older guy, and I said, Dave, that was his name, da-da-da-da-da. And he looked at me, and he said, well, Bill, I don't know a lot of things that work, but I know a lot of things that don't. So as you get older, process of elimination has some strengths in it. Hallelujah. So I can tell you how not to pastor a church, but I don't need to write that book. It's being done well without that. But I can tell you how not to pastor a church, and I can tell you how not to raise kids, and I can tell you how not to deal with certain things. But it really takes what I'm going to emphasize today, the word of the Lord, to do this in a way that really advances the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. So we're going to look there, 1 Kings 17. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there's not going to be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. I did some research over this passage over the years, and it's very interesting. When God chose to send a prophet who was an unusual prophet, that in Matthew 17, when Jesus would appear on the Mount of Transfiguration, how many know that story? Elijah was there in spirit form. So he would represent the prophets, and Moses, who was also in that vision, would represent the law. But Elijah, he didn't come from the king's court. He came into the king's court, but he was of the inhabitants of Gilead, and Gilead was hill country. It'd kind of be like coming from back in the stick somewhere, Appalachian Mountains. And they were not cultural people. They were backward, even considered in Israel. And that gives me hope, because God can reach anybody, anywhere, and raise them up to do anything. And it's not what we've got to offer God, it's what God's got to offer us. Are you glad for grace? And we look for the most qualified. I have friends that pastor in the Ivy Leagues, and my wife went to one. Closest I've ever got is walking across campus going to preach to church. But in the Ivy Leagues, when they get, regardless what they've studied, these big corporations come up from New York City and Boston and hire them, and if they'll sell their soul almost to these companies, within 10 years they're multimillionaires. But they look for qualified people. I've got good news for you. God doesn't need our qualifications. God sometimes looks for the least qualified, and he's the qualifier. So the thing we need to understand is, if we're doing the bidding of God, he will qualify us. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And notice this. As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. In secular humanism, I have a little bit of advantage point or disadvantage point, depending on how you look at it. I was educated in Europe. And Europe's about a generation or two ahead of America in certain places. And that means in darkness, not in technology. But in secular humanism, there's no right or wrong. Everything is relative, how you interpret it for your own likes, dislikes, or societal likes. But I want to tell you that there is absolute truth, and all hell fears absolute truth. Because Jesus didn't say, I think. He said, it's written. So the mind of man versus the mind of Christ is an ongoing thing. But here was Elijah. Everybody else except a remnant had fallen into disgrace, had fallen into bondage. But Elijah said, hey, guy, king, as the Lord God lives, before whom I stand. When Paul wrote Ephesians chapter 6, after the first five chapters of setting people in biblical order, he said, having done all to stand, stand. How strong is our stand in God? We will get ongoing revelation about that. Hallelujah. Before I was married, this is miraculous, I counseled marriages, and God healed a number of them. Then when I got married, I had to tear up all those notes I had. because it was just theory. And then I could tell you how to raise your kids. I was an expert at that before I had kids. And what was devastating, a few of mine have similar traits that I had before I was redeemed. Hallelujah. So when I had kids, I got rid of a lot of judgment because it didn't work. And if we're standing in God, I want to tell you, in Christ, we're invincible. But if we're standing in our opinions and our likes and our dislikes and traditions of men, we're weaker than what we realize. Standing in the Lord, as the Lord God lives before whom I stand. He was standing before God. And he was someone you probably wouldn't want in your living room because he wasn't dressing right and smelling right, but he was right on with God. There was this great apostle in France in the 30s, 40s, 50s, a friend of mine who trained me early on. He was trained under this guy. His name was Scott, and he was real from the working class of England, and he had no fear of man or devils. And on his own ministry, under the anointing of God, he birthed the Pentecostal movement in France. And he raised up 100 churches in 20 years when no one was doing anything. But he was kind of like Elijah, fearless. He'd go in rich people's homes and put his shoe right on with expensive furniture. As uncouth as could be, but my goodness, he had a stand in God that everything hell would try to throw against him. He once ran over a kid on the way to church because he's going so fast, jumped out of the car, picked up the kid. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, the power of God fell and the kid was resurrected. So he's kind of an unusual type, but he was standing in a realm of authority we need restored today. You see, the next thing we want to see here, he said, according to my word. He was so connected to the throne, like Moses, stretch forth your hand, the Red Sea opened up. He was in union with God. We'll look at that in a minute, but I want to go to verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him. All right, we want to see here, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Everybody has opinions. They're like armpits. People got a couple of them. But if you're going to try to run a church on human opinion, good or bad, it's going to hit the rocks of negative circumstances because opinions will not stand when the storms of life come full power. And a young pastor I was helping, he was afraid I'd move on to some other cities, better offers, better money, everything. But I told him this, I'm not going because I like this city or I'm in this church because it fits my fleshly ideas or where I want to be or what I do. I'm here by the word of the Lord. And Jesus said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every that proceeds from the mouth of God. We get into all type of trouble when we're making our own decisions and sharing our own opinion. Notice I said we.
Yeah. Oh, hallelujah.
The word of the Lord. Now, if you're sincere before God, the word of the Lord's going to come to you, like it or not. Example, my testimony. I never wanted kids because I was afraid they would have turned out like me. But my wife, after we were married about 5-6 years, said, Bill, can we discuss having a family on the way to church to minister? It's, good wives do that sometimes, know how to drop the... Anyhow. But I said, no, we cannot discuss that. That's how open I was to the word of the Lord. Well, will you talk to our pastor afterwards? My tremendous submissive spirit? No. So God heard that. I didn't want any word of the Lord. I didn't want any biblical position shared. I didn't want kids, period. We're at that church, had a decent service, ministered to a few people, nothing great. But all of a sudden, a prophet stood up. I have a word for Bill to the nations. No more pastoring. I was looking for that, my desire. May I say this? My desire and your desire is not the word of the Lord.
Right.
I'll just throw that out there. So my desire was get out of pastoring, start traveling, and da-da-da-da. And here this guy in front of a church of at least 200 people that night laid hands on me and said, thus saith the Lord, now's the time to start your family.
Yeah.
That wasn't what I wanted to hear. That was not in my plans. God was hitting that spirit of fear so strong because it was the word of the Lord. So some people don't get the word of the Lord because they're not very open, but ready or not, here God comes. You might have heel marks all the way to the altar, but when God's in it, guess who wins? And so when we got that word and a friend came up with his little baby daughter, wouldn't you want one of these? I felt like laying hands on him and not for prayer. But I wouldn't hear it for a year, and we had a packed out church then, and by the end of my not receiving the word of the Lord, the only people that were left was my family. Then my wife, then I finally said, all right, in desperation, we'll start a family. Can you believe it? The church started to grow and got packed out again. I'm not going to succeed if we're not receiving the word of the Lord. And may I say this, this church can't be built on the opinions of men. You need the word of the Lord, whether it's your house or this house or eldership or the newest convert. We've got to operate by the word of the Lord. You know, I've seen some groups, the Constitution says, and rather than a constitution, they get into constipation. Because they're not hearing from God. Example, the Pharisees said, we know God spoke to Moses. Who's this guy? John chapter 9. He was the God that spoke to Moses. See how blind people can be that don't receive the word of the Lord? Example, a high-level apostolic ministry. I know he's now 92 years old, still alive. His brother was a spiritual father to me. He told this testimony. He said, there was a church in Guatemala, and they had this intercessor-prophet in one of the church buildings. They thought he was a little off. He was always praying and getting visions, and they were better teachers than that. They weren't into that. But one day he comes into the staff meeting and says, there's going to be an earthquake 2 o'clock in the morning that's going to shake this nation. And all the staff said, you're so off the wall. You're always praying in these crazy visions. We don't buy that. He said, listen, everyone that's in this church building will be protected, but 2 o'clock in the morning, there's coming an earthquake, and walked out, and they blew him off. That morning, the biggest earthquake Guatemala's ever had in its history fell. 2 o'clock in the morning, villages wiped out, cities under devastation. All those church buildings on that whole compound came crashing down. The prophet and a few other people were in the church. The thing didn't have one crack on it. And the main leader over that whole ministry there was in one of those buildings that came down. He was the only one that lived. He was partially paralyzed out of it. And God spoke to my spiritual father's brother, who was in New York, the biggest church in New York at that time, said, go to Guatemala City, da-da-da, and took an offering, went and prayed for that guy, and the Lord did a miraculous recovery. But this is what this leader said. We were so deaf to receiving the word of the Lord. That puts the fear of God in me, because I believe the strategic place this nation's in right now, we don't need Christians who are under the counsel of the ungodly. We don't need church leaders who are doing what is right in their own eyes or in their own mind. We've got to get the word of the Lord. I said we've got to get the word of the Lord. And I'm tired of learning things the hard way. I don't want, you know, tire marks on me run over by some Mack truck driven by a couple angels. You know, we can be so dense we don't know we're dense, and that's dense. Well, the word of the Lord. Because when you study the life of the Lord Jesus, he wasn't out doing his own thing. He said, what I hear the Father speaking, I'm saying. What I've seen the Father doing, I'm working accordingly. Jesus moved by the word of the Lord. And when you got major decisions to make, you don't need sympathy. You don't need human intellect. You don't need the opinions of men. You don't need people that think they're hearing from God and ate too much pizza the night before. You don't need prophetic ministry that's actually pathetic ministry. You got to really hear from God. Elijah, notice this, verse 3. Get from here and turn east and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that's before Jordan. And it'll be that you'll drink of the brook, for I've commanded the ravens to feed you. That was a no-no. Those were unclean birds. Israel was not meant to get near them. I guess God can lead in new ways we haven't yet experienced. The ravens. And notice this. He went and did according to the word of the Lord. Now you say, well, I need a word now. Well, let me ask this. Have you heeded what God has said? Because if we're not heeding what God has said, God gets tired of redundancy. That's why he said to Israel throughout the book of Deuteronomy, remember, 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 remember. Because they had a poor memory by choice. He went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he dwelt by the brook Cherith, that's before Jordan. I've been there. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there wasn't any rain in the land. All right, let's see this. He didn't say, I better get out of here because I just spoke judgment over this country. And it was a true word. Here's one of the things you can always know if a word is from God. It comes to pass. If it doesn't come to pass, someone missed it. And it could be me or you or anybody. But Elijah was accurate. How many hear that? Accurate. When we're going to get the word of the Lord that doesn't come to us direct, we better submit to people in the spirit and in the word that have accuracy. Because I've seen false words destroy marriages and destroy churches and mess up national movements. We've got to get to the place that it is the fear of God, because we're in a massive time of transition. The thing I don't like about transition is I don't like transition. But God didn't ask me about times and seasons. Well, hallelujah. Some seasons I'd like to avoid, but they're unavoidable. How about seasons where there is no word? Where there is no voice? Well, if you don't have a voice, thank God you have a verse. And no voice should go against the verse. I've had some idiotic people tell me, God told me to leave my wife, or God told me to leave my husband. I said, question, is the one God's telling you to go to younger? That's not God telling them, that's just demon spirits. We got to know the word of the Lord. I said, we got to have accuracy. Because when he spoke this word, which was an accurate word, then God hid him. Now, hidden years. What am I doing in this job? What am I doing serving here? It's so contrary to what I thought God had for me. If I was God in his plan of redemption, and since I'm not, you can breathe. But if I was God in his plan of redemption, I would not have hidden my son in Nazareth for 30 years, a little time in Egypt. But I wouldn't have hid him there for 30 years. But if you're in a thing that seemingly everything's dead and there's no forward and address from God to you, you could be in a season of being hidden by God to prepare you for what's ahead. And I don't like when it happens to me. If it's in the Bible, it's real nice. But God put Joseph in enough adverse circumstances, and he was hid for at least 13 years after he received the word of the Lord. And everything, here's a frightening thing, everything Joseph tried to do to get out of it made his prison term go longer. Oh, hallelujah. I could give you quite a few personal examples about that. Hidden, it's not fruitful. Hidden, sometimes it's not fun. Hidden, it's totally adverse to where you want to go and what you need to do. But if you notice this, God hit him by the brook Cherith, and the word Cherith means the cutting of the covenant. Yeah. Something covenantally was working in that man, and if someone has something worth listening to, you can be sure they didn't get it in some school, some seminary, or secondhand. God worked covenantally in deep ways, in hidden years, in hidden months, in hidden times, to produce Christ in them. One of the deepest prophets I know anywhere in the world, he's, how old is he? Almost 90 years old now. And he has as much as 50 pastors calling him daily for the word of the Lord, and he speaks into governmental officials. Such a word from God, he prophesied a man going to Iraq, that you're not going to lose one man, and you will become a general. And he looked to his sister afterwards. He said, there are no generals in our division. It just can't happen. So he went to Iraq. Everybody's losing men. He never lost one. And one day he got a report, some of your men have been killed, and this is what he sent to the high command. That's impossible. The word came back. What do you mean it's impossible? He said, it's impossible that I lose any men when I'm here because I have the word of the Lord. Literally happened. Iraq. You know what they found out? Those men that were killed was not from his division. And then he upped it again for another tour. He says, this is so good. Not one man was lost under his command. After he left, someone took over. And they started losing men, and this colonel emailed him and said, what was your secret that you never lost a man two tours here? He said, oh, that's easy. I have the word of the Lord. I have the word of the Lord. Then he went back to the States, and he gets a call from high command. We're starting a new division within your division, and we need a general. Will you take it over? Impossibility. I want to tell you this. When God works covenantly in hidden years of your life, when God works behind the scenes, he's not doing it to keep you where you are. He's doing it to bring you where you need to go. That's why without a vision, we perish. It's by the word of the Lord all this happened. And notice the ravens came, those unclean birds. We're looking to God to provide from just tithes and offerings, but I want to tell you there's ravens out there. When God decided to send me to the nations, I said, well, I have enough trouble and time trying to pay my bills here, much less go there. But I'm minding my own business most of the time in a church service, front row. All of a sudden, unrehearsed, unwanted, the word of the Lord came to me and God said, books and old books. I said, I wonder what that meant. I went to Massachusetts after that ministering and a woman came up to me. This is how the word of the Lord works when the ravens are going to be serving you. She said, this unsaved woman, an older lady, has a camp and it collapsed. It's full of antiques. And notice this, old books. Help yourself, she said. Out of that, God gave me some ideas. Then I connected with rare book dealers in New York City, Jewish men. And I want to thank God for 10 years. They paid my bills to go all over the world. I was preaching, and they were supporting it. And I found what they wanted, and they helped me with what I wanted. Do you know that there's ravens outside of the church world that are meant to serve us? We don't have to get our hands dirty. This was room service. Hallelujah. The birds showed up. But it came to pass after a while, the brook dried up. It's bad when your prophecies affect you. Yeah. It's not going to rain. That's all right for Israel, but it affected him. It's not going to rain. The brook dried up. Now, this is the thing I'll tell you, too. First, the hidden years, we just need to find God covenantally in them and let him supply our needs, which he did supernaturally. But then the day came, the brook dried up. And some of you could be there today. In fact, may I say, in a lot of aspects, the brook has dried up in this church. That's not condemnation. We're going to see in a minute what that means. But when the brook dries up, may I encourage you not to drill a well where the brook is dried up and not to play in the mud. You know, mud, it's funny when kids have a mud fight. It's not too funny when churches do. You're throwing mud around. There's a principle I try to avoid. How many want a good harvest? Help Jesus, you know. I want to watch my mouth. There was this woman, very righteous woman, ran this corporation, very gifted woman, very godly woman. She one day opened her mouth, said this, I don't understand how these Christian leaders and these Christian people fall to adultery. She ran off her mouth, you know, on and on and on. All of a sudden, she felt like the grace of God came off her life, and for 1 week, she struggled to stay pure and moral. She would run to her office and say, God, if you don't keep me, I'm going to fall into sin. After the week, the grace came back. When the brook dries up, we need to be careful that we don't throw mud around. We don't blame God, and we don't try to drill where there's nothing to be found. I've seen churches that back in the 80s and 90s had a move of God, and today their death warmed over because the brook has dried up. Well, what do you do when the brook dries up and the ravens aren't supplying anymore? You better not stay there. You better move on. How many want to move on? Not in old ways, but in his ways, because when the brook dries up, God has something ahead. And if we ever lose forward motion, and if we ever lose a forward desire, we're in a bad place. You know, you can get in your 60s, 70s, and 80s to become a spiritual antique. No longer really functions, but it's good to look at. Yeah. Gnosis, the brook dried up. I said, the brook dried up. We've got to get a hold of God, because throughout this nation, place after place, I know of real life situations where the brook is dried up. It's not because of sin, because here's what went on. There was a seasonal change. When the brook dries up, when leadership changes, when tragedy comes, when all things that could go wrong have gone wrong, I'm glad that there's a sovereign hand that can turn a mess into a masterpiece. I'm glad there's a God of mercy who can take the worst hell has tried to do. And the Bible, like Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Not all things are good, but all things work together for good. Not all things are God, but God can take all things and put them through the cross and turn trash into treasures. He's the great recycler, hallelujah. Not the plastic here and the paper here. No, he can take anything and he can make out of junk miracles. Oh, hallelujah. Look at the cross. So the brook dried up. He didn't do a rain dance. He didn't pray, God, let this thing come alive again. Notice this, verse 8. The word of the Lord came unto him. He received the next orders from headquarters when the brook dried up. When the brook dries up, it may mean changing ministry. It may mean changing not the message, but the methodology. It may mean shutting down things till God resurrects them. It may mean things that we thought were going to last forever don't. When the brook dries up, because God's eternal, in Christ, we're eternal too, but nothing on this in this world outside of Christ is eternal. The brook dried up. Notice this, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, rise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there, for I've commanded a widow woman to sustain you. The word of the Lord came to him. Arise. His time of hiding was over. The word of the Lord came to him. And if you're, man, I'm comfortable. I've just got used to this. I'm not open to change. Wait till God gets done with you. Hallelujah. The hornets of circumstances do motivate us to get running. Man, I was telling last night some people, I had a job once, got it by the word of the Lord. I had favor. The guy in charge of this corporation was going to have open heart surgery. That was before it was really safe. We prayed and God healed him. His wife was a Christian. He wasn't, but he said this, you travel as much as you want, just make sure everyone covers your work. So I've never had a job like that before since. I had a full-time job with full-time pay, with full-time benefits, and I was almost never there full-time, meaning gone most of the time. And so I had it made in the shade, and I was traveling, and the rare book business was starting. And one night I'm sitting there about 2 in the morning, and all of a sudden I collapsed over a table, and I felt my heart about ready to come out of my chest. And great pain, and God says, resign, your time here is over. See, the word of the Lord came to me. If you don't have ears to hear, God can go with a still small voice or a gong, but God will speak. Amen. Yes, Lord. The word of the Lord came to him. Rise, arise. Let's repeat that word, arise. That is, don't keep sitting where you are. Don't keep thinking like you are. Don't hold on to things God wants us to let go. An unusual thing has happened in the city I dwell in California. We have 4 churches meeting in the same building. So we tell people, if you get upset with us, you don't have to go across town. Just go to the next service. Solves all the division. Hallelujah. And they tell them others. But you know what we've seen? For the first time ever, I've seen ministry get very secure. Because if it's our church, it's going to hit a glass ceiling. If it's his church, there are no limitation. He arose and went to Zarephath. Now, it's interesting when you look what the word Zarephath means. Cherith meant covenant. But Zarephath means blast furnace. And where he was sending them, this was the very region that Jezebel came from, her home region. It was not human wisdom to go there. In fact, it'd be suicidal. Because they were looking, if you read the next few chapters, to destroy him and to find him, and they never could, because here's the truth. In the will of God, there's protection. missionaries, I know they were in Belgian Congo. People had invaded from Angola, communists from Cuba. They were killing everyone in the whole block, and there was him with his kids. And the word of the Lord came to him, Psalm 91. And the Lord said, don't leave your house. All week long, there was massacre going on. No one knocked on his door. No one came near them because in the will of God, when you have the word of the Lord, there's protection. Let's be in the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Notice this. And when he came to the gate of the city, there was a widow woman gathering sticks. And he said, fetch me, I pray you, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And she was going it. And he said, bring me, I pray you, some bread that's in your hand. She said, as the Lord thy God lives, I don't have a cake, but a handful of flour in a barrel and a little of oil in a jar, and I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Have you ever felt like God sent you the wrong address? The top intercessor I ever knew was she wouldn't like to hear it, but an old lady from Israel, she was 84 when we met, supernaturally. And as a young person, her husband resisted the word of God and the call on her life. And he left her on the way back home. He found Christ, but she saw a vision and it came to pass. He died before he got home. And then God sent her supernaturally. My spiritual father's mother trained her. My spiritual father's mother was at Azusa Street during the great outpouring in early Pentecost. But she trained her, and then when she's leaving, how would you like this send-off? This old lady that trained her starts crying. You're going to suffer so much. We think when we go to Zarephath, you know, there's going to be a reception, and people go put out the red carpet. Sometimes the word of the Lord brings us into impossible situations where our faith is tried. Hear this old lady that taught me intercession and taught me things in the spirit that I'm still not fully living. She got to North Africa, a single woman, a widow. She got there, and she knocked on a missionary's door, and the missionary opened the door and said, I don't know you. Go away, and slammed the door in her face. She had no money. She had no support. She didn't know anyone. This is what she told me. I made it hard on God. I never told anyone where I was, and I lived there 9 years and found the supernatural supply of God. Now, I don't encourage you to try that one, but God was with her, and Elijah showed up here, and it looked like God told that widow woman to take care of you. She can't even take care of herself. Now look what this guy does. This would really cause, CNN would really be reporting on this. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, don't be afraid, but go and do as you said, but make me a little cake first. Bring it unto me and after for you and your son. Oh, prophet comes to town and is going to be with a widow woman. That's scandal number one. Scandal number two, she has just enough food for her and her son, and this spiritual mooch shows up and said, before you eat, I'm going to eat. See, Elijah at Cherith found God's supernatural supply for him, but now in Zarephath, he was going to be the vessel that would bring supernatural supply to others. Because he went there not because he said, that'd be a good idea to go there. No, in the natural is a very stupid place to go because that's where Jezebel had family and friends. She was from there. But because God put him there, God defied the logic of the ungodly. And in Zarephath, which means blast furnace, rather than disintegrate under pressure, he got purified in his faith like gold. By the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. This man had accuracy. And he said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal didn't waste, neither the cruse of oil fail, until according to the word which he spoke by Elijah. Here's the thing about the word of the Lord. God just doesn't want the word of the Lord to come to you. He wants the word of the Lord to come through you. I was harassing a friend of mine on Facebook about a week or two ago. The doctor said, you'll never have a child, da-da, this is wrong with your body, da-da. And the word of the Lord through me came to her, I opened the womb. I said, how many kids have you had since that word? She said, six. She said, but no more. So I said, well, you never know, Elijah and Sarah, you know, or Abraham and Sarah. But the word of the Lord, when we tap into it, brings supernatural possibilities and divine provision. And we've got to learn to tap into the word of the Lord, because Elijah wasn't being cruel or a con artist by saying, feed me some first. He was getting her out of the law of sin and death, poverty and lack, into a biblical principle of putting the kingdom first that releases God's law of supernatural abundance. I've known some people, Christians, that work 3 jobs and are always broke. I had a young person come to me in California, a family member. She said, Dad, last year was difficult. She was in her 20s. She said, I only made $96,000. Hello. But you know, if the kingdom's not first, you can make double that and still be broke. By the word of the Lord, there's prosperity. By the word of the Lord, there's supernatural supply. And by the word of the Lord, everybody can be around you losing out, but you're not going to lose out, because in the word of the Lord, he makes what she did, the little she gave, and stretches it like the boy with the bread of fishes into miraculous proportions by the word of the Lord. So the question is the blessing of God upon what you have? Not what you have or don't have. Is the blessing of God upon it? Because the boy with the bread and fishes fed the multitudes, and then he had baskets left over. I don't want to work in any poor country where people don't learn to tithe and give offerings and learn to sow, because their harvest is one of poverty otherwise. And during this time of supernatural consequences on the land, this woman prospered because she stepped out of those consequences into the covenant that only provides and blesses. I know a guy in Cambodia, a pastor, there was drought. All the heathen's rice fields were dried up, but his on the other side of the road was green. Are you glad for the word of the Lord that has all power in heaven and earth? So this woman, because she received the word of the Lord, she was blessed when others weren't. It came to pass after a while that the son of this woman fell sick. Elijah took the child, and he wasn't thinking straight, but he says, he cried to the Lord, said, O Lord, have you brought this evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? He stretched himself upon the child 3 times, cried to the Lord, and said, O Lord God, let his soul come again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back into him. In verse 24, the woman said this. The woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you're a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. What happened in Zarephath? Supernatural provision through him to others, and miracles that were almost unprecedented in that time happened because by the word of the Lord, the supernatural increases in our life. Amen. Not decreases, I said it increases. We need a restoration of the working of miracles, because when that anointing comes, churches will be packed and cities will be shaken. I have an acquaintance, her father was one of the great healing ministries, and he had such anointing that now, more than 60 years later, the impact of his meetings on Long Island, New York is still felt. And he emptied in one night, a friend of mine was there, 30 ambulances by the power of God. In Jesus' name, pull them off. Jesus' name, pull them off. We need a restoration of this anointing. And I'm glad, though Elijah died, the anointing that was upon him never died, because John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. And God says in Malachi, he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the children to the father. And he talks about Elijah there. No, it's not a person. It's an anointing. Are you glad by the word of the Lord? We have miracles in our inheritance ahead. And things like AIDS and death. And I saw this when I have it on Facebook page. A guy stood before me in a long line of people. I prophesied, gave him the word of the Lord. He went home. His wife's, their baby in the womb had died. No more life. They were going to take it out, you know, and they said, it has to, or it's dangerous for you. But he went and took that word, and they warred with it, and all of a sudden she passed all this blood. It didn't look good. They went and they said, Mondays, you must be in here one way or the other. They came in, and they expected to remove the child, the dead child, but they did test again. The child was alive by the word of the Lord. I said, by the word of the Lord. And that child's 3 years old now, right now. We need the word of the Lord to bring the supernatural power and provision of God. Do you want to be a people that operate by the word of the Lord? Or do you want to live in your thoughts and strength? It's a choice for all of us. I end with this one verse. And it came to pass after many days. You say, well, God hadn't spoke to me in a long time. Welcome to the word of God. Some people act like they're Moses returned on the earth. God's giving them a vision every morning, you know. Most of the time it's not a vision, it's just fantasy or some wrong spirit speaking to them. Notice this, after many days, and if you're in a waiting time for the word of the Lord, just wait. He will speak either by circumstance, vision, dream, scripture, prophecy. God will speak because God doesn't have laryngitis. Right. Throw that out there. But the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. Why? That was the prophetic word. That was the prophetic word. Go and show yourself unto Ahab. I'll send rain on the earth. Wait a minute. God said, hide yourself. Now God said, show yourself. When I was pastoring my first church, I had this dear woman. What could I say about her? The nicest thing, she was a pastor's nightmare. That's the nicest thing. Tragic, tragic thing she brought on her whole family. But she would say, God gave me this job. Oh, great, you got a job. 2 weeks later, God told me to quit the job. And that went on for about a year. Then finally I went to her, I said, I hate to tell you this, but God's not schizophrenic. Yeah. Get a job, lose a job, get a job, save it. She wasn't moving by the word of the Lord. She was under real negative influence because to have the word of the Lord, one of the things we really need to have is the fear of God. And when you say God spoke to me, we need to know God spoke to us. Amen. I said we need to know that. When we make major changes in a church's leadership, we better make sure it's God. And it's confirmed. Not a feeling, you know, if you make decisions in your soul, in the emotions, whether it's for children or for the house of God, it's going to lead you astray because the soulish realm is the realm the enemy works in, earthly, sensual, and devilish. We don't need soulish directions. Amen. We don't need soulish opinions. I've changed my ministry shift to the Middle East and Central Asia. And there's an apostolic friend I work with. Let's just say he comes from Iran, since that's where he comes from. And he was in Afghanistan. And he went to a South African missionary and said, listen, what you're doing here is not right. You've got to stop having meetings the same time and same place. You're going to get yourself killed. And the missionary said, look at my elders. They support me. Little did that missionary know one of the elders was a spy for the Taliban. And after that mission, after that Iranian apostle left, the Taliban, who was looking at that place for 6 months, came, killed the missionary and his two children. Because by the word of the Lord, we stay beyond, most of the time, the enemy's reach. But without the word of the Lord, I'm vulnerable and you're vulnerable. Notice when Egypt tried to go through the Red Sea without the word of the Lord. Didn't work. I said it didn't work. If you study the book of Joshua, centuries before, the reason they took the promised land is they had the word of the Lord. Joshua always consulted the Lord, and when they didn't, Ai, and when they didn't with the Gibeonites, they got in trouble. And so, dear ones, I just want to say this. When God gives you a different word, it's because the word he gave you was once fulfilled, but now show yourself. God had worked at Cherith, God had worked at Zarephath, and now God was going to work through Elijah, because when the fire would come and the prophets of Baal would be defeated, notice what he said, Lord, let your fire fall, because I've done everything according to your word. What he did on Mount Carmel wasn't, let's build an altar and let's challenge these prophets of Baal. No, that would have been foolishness. What he did on Mount Carmel, and Carmel means fruitful, he did by the word of the Lord. And when Elijah didn't get the word of the Lord, he fled from Jezebel and wanted to die. So if you want to run and hide and want to die, may I encourage you to get the word of the Lord in your life and let God supernaturally minister to you, because God wants to bring supernatural change and a new generation coming forth here in this church. He doesn't want you staying by dried up brooks. Whenever I get comfortable, I should learn, I haven't, the clouds go soon move. 16 years working in Asia in 10 nations, In one of them alone, there's 1 million converts in 16 years. I was a prophet to the whole movement, still am. But the word of the Lord came to me through my wife and others, and then God. Let it go to the next generation. So I delegated it to my son. And at 66, it's a frightening thing to start all over again and to go to crazy places like Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Israel, Egypt. But if I wouldn't do that, I would dry up along with the brook. And dear people, you need a fresh move of God here. Tragedy struck, but you can't live by tragedy. You got to go on from tragedy. That's not being calloused. Like I tell the church I'm working with, the father went to be with the Lord the other year. He would want me to set order here. He'd want there to be change. And this church to go forward, you got to get the fear of God from the elders to the pastor on down and cry out for God's word, because we don't need human opinions. We don't need denominational systems. We don't need a headless body. We don't need a team that's a dysfunctional team. We don't need well-meaning good people that don't have the word of the Lord. It's not going to work. I said, it will not work. It will not work. I supernaturally was sent into Eastern Europe. The guards, it was two miles of traffic. I would have been there, God only knows, for a week or longer. They shut down the border. But by the word of the Lord, I challenged the colonel, and I challenged everybody there, and they laughed but were shaken to the core, and they opened up and brought us right to the Romanian border and let us in. And before they let us in, I heard they said something before I could speak Romanian. And I said to the translator, what did they just say? He said, they said, be careful what you do with these men. They're not normal people. See, when you're in the Word of God, you're not in normalcy. You're in the supernatural leading of heaven. But the next year, someone heard about what God did and tried it. And you know what happened? The guards laughed at him and said, get out of here. All night they drove around to different openings in the Romanian border. And finally, when they repented and humbled themselves, God showed them mercy. We're not going to go through doors the way other people go through doors. We're not going to see things happen in nations just because other people have made it work. We're not going to build a strong church here from where it is to where God wants it to be because we try what others have tried, or we're doing what we think is right in our own eyes. But by the word of the Lord, I want to tell you, there's provision and there's miraculous intervention and there's breakthroughs over the powers of darkness, and we can see the love and grace of God prevail. Come on. So may the fear of God be upon us all, and may we be like Mary and can honestly say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And may we have ears to hear and not be like that Guatemalan apostle who thought it was foolishness. It nearly cost him his life. It cost the life of his whole staff. Because when the word of the Lord came through a vessel they didn't think it should, they didn't have ears to hear or heart to receive truth. The Armenian massacre that happened just before the First World War, God had raised up a prophet 20 years before, a little boy, and he told them what was going to happen. He wrote it down. He couldn't write. He was out in the spirit for days. He wrote it down. He couldn't write. And then when he was a man, people thought that prophecy was fake. He started going throughout Armenia and said, it's about time for the word of God to be fulfilled. Flee Armenia. Go to the west coast of the United States. He didn't know what it was, the United States, but he drew a map, and that's where it was. And most of the people didn't heed. A small remnant did. They left. He left Armenia. Right afterward, the Turks came in and murdered 2 million people. It wasn't God. God gave his word what to do. And may I say this, that's how serious it is in this juncture of world history and your history here as a house. We've got to go after the word of the Lord, and we've got to heed the word of the Lord. What I want, what you want, what anyone wants is not what really matters. It's the word of the Lord. So out of much prayer, trust me, days of much prayer, that's what heaven gives me for you. And I'm glad the Lord God of Elijah is on the throne. And he can shut up the heavens and open up the heavens. And things happen I don't have the answer for, but are you glad in those times we do have the answer? It's been many days. Just wait. The new season will come. Show yourself. Man, nobody knows. You know, you're singing the blues. Nobody knows but Jesus. You're just being hidden. And don't try to get yourself out of it. Wait for God to get you out of it. Wait for the brook to dry up. You say, well, things are, it's not what they were. It's like nothing's working. It's about time for you to go to Zarephath. Your faith to be purified and something not just come to you, but come through you in power and provision for others. You say, well, the enemy's so powerful in America. God's getting ready to let the fire fall and take care of all those devils. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When you got the word of the Lord, I said, when you got the word of the Lord, he that sits in the heavens will laugh. I end with this. I was in Russia having wonderful fellowship with the KGB and Bureau of Extremism. They were going to fry me, try me, and crucify me. I have quite a big dossier over there. They threw me out for 6 years. And they got my sermons recorded and everything. And so I was on the way to be expelled again. Court. I was under citywide arrest. All of a sudden, the word of the Lord came to me. You're going to win this case, and it's assigned to you. This is several weeks before it happened. That Donald Trump's going to be the next president of the United States. Huh? I said, all right, because I sure didn't want Jezebel on the throne. Not to be too directive, but if you know where I'm coming from. Ask your parents when you get home or ask your pastor next week. But anyhow, that came to pass, and it was so supernatural because I needed a civil rights lawyer and a religious rights lawyer, and there are not too many of them in Russia. And it's a landmass that goes everywhere, all the way from the Baltics, that's Sweden, all the way to Japan. There's one group that does represent churches and civil rights, but they're all over Russia. But can you believe it? The very day that all hell broke loose, 5 KGB agents and police in my come 2 days in a row, once to both times to restaurants. I guess they were hungry to see me. All of a sudden, in the same city, in the middle of nowhere in Russia, here was the top civil rights lawyer and religious rights lawyer. And when he found out who he was, he said, "We've never met. I represented you 17 years ago." Oh, nice to meet. Finally, hallelujah. But see, in the word of the Lord, you've got supernatural help and supernatural victory available and the grace to go on in God in different seasons and circumstances. And if you're in a bad place today, I just want to encourage you, let the Lord minister to you, because truly his word will unfold if your heart is open to him. I said, if your heart is open to him. The word of the Lord will come to you. I said, sometimes in the worst periods of my spiritual life, when I had given up, God says, finally, you've let go. Now I'll take over. Hallelujah. If you put things in my hands, it'll do well. If you take things in your hands, it's going to fall apart. May you hear us, a church, that there's a new season upon you to receive the word of the Lord. Because God loves you like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like you are. There's change, and that's not what you put in the offering. Hallelujah. There's change to build a church that Satan won't divide or undermine or weaken or just turn into a religious place. There's change to go on in provision and go into power and then go into victory over the enemy so that we don't leave dry, dead bones to the next generation, but we leave something that's alive in God. By the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. Say, well, I'm offended today. Good. You pray for me. I need the prayer and you need the practice. Hallelujah. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Well, we want this made right. We want vengeance is mine, saith me. No, it's not any our place to step into the realm of being a judge. The spirit of judgment can ruin churches because there's only one judge. And he's merciful. But as we close today, I want to challenge you as a people. Get on your face and cry out for the word of the Lord for this house. Don't think because it's been well in other days, you're in a place that doesn't matter. It really, really matters because there's a shift that's going on in the spirit world. And God doesn't want to bless you where he was. He wants to bless you where he is. And when the brook dries up, don't stay there. And if you're going through fire, know it's to bring forth something that's never worked in your life. And if God is saying, show yourself, and it's beyond what you could ever do, that's because you're going to need the word of the Lord and great grace to return rain to a parched generation. Yeah. Could we stand in his presence, please? As we're in the presence of God today, I just want to say it's an honor to be here. I stand with the leadership. I stand for the leadership. I stand with you, and I stand for you. And there's been a whole lot of shaking and a whole lot of stuff going on in the spirit. This is the first time I've spoken publicly since Ed and the other brother, two brothers, went to be with the Lord. But I want to say this. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We have the word of the Lord, but we sure need the outworking of that word. And God has a plan for my life and your life. God has a plan when we face failure and when things go totally out of our sphere of understanding. He's on the throne. I said, he's on the throne. And he promises that you're not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There is God speaking. And God can speak to an alcoholic and turn him into an evangelist. God can speak to a homosexual and turn him into a university professor that's walking in holiness. God can speak to a lesbian and turn her into a mighty mother of children, because the word of the Lord transforms lives. And God can speak to churches and open their eyes to get in divine order, because hear me, when the tabernacle was made right, then the glory filled it. No condemnation, no judgment, but a seriousness as the people of God who are put here by the Lord, by the word of the Lord. You need to cry out for leadership to have the word of the Lord in this house, because things have been shaken beyond measure. But that's because God's going to do something beyond measure. And the enemy can fight on the right hand and the left with great intensity. But when we have the word of the Lord, our Goliath will fall. Hallelujah. 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 Elijah didn't say this might happen. He said, according to my word, it's going to happen. So I decree by the word of the Lord, God's going to do a new thing in this house. By the word of the Lord, change is going on in the spirit. By the word of the Lord, there's healing and restoration. Woman was dying with cancer, well-known Latter Rain apostle. She was dying like a skeleton. Prophet called her by the word of the Lord, said, get dressed, for thus saith the Lord, your cancer is healed. She went into church. They thought they were seeing a ghost. She was like a skeleton, and she lived 20 more years. By the word of the Lord. I said, by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. You see, it wasn't who Elijah was. It was who the Lord God that he served was. And he got the word of the Lord, Jezebel and Ahab. And the next generation was going to be anointed. Elisha was going to come forth. Because Elijah, when he moved by the word of the Lord, God moved with him and God moved for him. And God moved in spite of him. So today, Father, we just decree that we need the word of the Lord. We're a people that don't want to build our own future. We want your future for our life. And we want your mercy for our life and for our children. And I pray over everyone, from fathers to mothers to young people who have calls on their life, Lord, to leadership in this church, that they'd get desperate for the word of the Lord. Just like little Samuel, when there wasn't a word in Israel, he got desperate to stand before God, and God spoke to a child because the adults weren't listening. Thank you, Father, for the coming of the word of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. May we have ears to hear. May we have open hearts. May we not be stuck. May we not be set in our ways. May we not stay where God doesn't want us to stay. When God says let go of something, let go of something. When God says enter into something, enter into something. By the word of the Lord. I said by the word of the Lord, because opinions, they will ruin the works of God, because we must go by the word of the Lord. And may the Holy Spirit take this message and burn deep in you and put a cry in you for the word of God in this generation. Because it said the word of the Lord was revealed to Samuel, then the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. May the word of the Lord come through this church in a supernatural way. May a word that is generationally transforming come through this house. May a breaking of religious strongholds happen in this place. May open heaven unfold in this place. May God arise and his enemies be scattered in this place. May every deceiving voice be muzzled in this place. May breakthroughs over Jezebel and Absalom devils happen in this place. By the word of the Lord. I said, by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. Let obedience be our hallmark. May we tremble before the word of the Lord. May a generation that's so full of rebellion and self-will and entitlement and having such thin skin Get supernaturally transformed by the word of the Lord. Send your word to people we wouldn't believe you'd do that, Lord. To my new age leader there in San Francisco, send the word of the Lord to her today. To those in great, great darkness, send the word of the Lord in this region in Seattle today. Surprise us who you're going to awaken, Lord, by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. May Christians wake up and may Christians stand up like Elijah. He stood for something. He didn't fall for anything. May we stand before the Lord today and have hearts that are open to receive the word of the Lord. As we close here today, I just want to admonish you. You're a people that God has and wants to speak to. Be very serious to hear what the Lord tells you, because man's not going to live by natural sources, bread alone, but by every word, supernatural direction that comes from God. And when you have the word of the Lord, whether you're a plumber or an apostle, you're going to get breakthroughs. Because when others can't be favored, you will be favored by the word of the Lord. And when the devil says, we're going to have to take your baby out of your womb because he's dead, or she's dead, the word of the Lord said otherwise. Hallelujah. When cancer's going to take you, the word of the Lord says you're going to live. That's something we can stand on. May God may give us real seriousness, because I'm not going to work with leaders or churches that aren't very serious about what I'm talking about today, because we're in a major battle. We got to have the word of the Lord for this generation and for our nation and for race situations and for diseases and for bondages and for perversions. The word of the Lord is the answer. Do you hear what I'm saying? The word of the Lord is the answer. The word of the Lord is the answer. Word of the Lord came to me, and God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on the homosexual community and New Age community in San Francisco, and there's going to be a revival unlike any. And I said, man, this is far out. So I called Mario Murillo, a well-known evangelist, and he laughed. He said, Bill, I've been preaching that for 20 years. About time I caught up by the word of the Lord. Are we looking at things from a natural perspective? Are we not wanting to hurt people? Or do we get the word of the Lord that brings us into a realm that others can't walk in? Hallelujah. May God release and increase and demonstrate his word in this church for the glory of God. And may religious spirits and divisive spirits and the pride of man and religiosity go to the cross and be given a death blow. Be it unto this place, Lord, according to your word. May every demonic way of responding die at Calvary. And by the word of the Lord, may this church go into a new grace and a new place. In the name above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. I said the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the word made flesh. Bless the ears and the eyes of your people that they see and hear. The word of the Lord will sustain parents. My parents, when I was into drugs and dealing drugs and an absolute demoniac, they got the word of the Lord. Even my unsaved father heard from God that I was going to be a preacher. And they took that word and warred with it around the clock for over 5 years. I'm glad the word of the Lord redeems, and the word of the Lord restores, and the word of the Lord gives hope. So may his precious word come upon you constantly, and it is, it's proceeding. Just, it may be many days before God speaks to you again. Wait, he will. And you may be in hiding. Just hang in there. Your provision will be there. You may be going through fire to provide through you for others and to see power in a holy way work in your life. God knows what he's doing, because there's seasons and there's reasons. But walk in the word of the Lord, and may God take you as a church into the next dimension and the next place he wants you to be in the spirit according to the word of God. Amen.